Today's daf is daf mem we're holding by the Halakha Mishnah. Hamafkid pirot etz chavero, hareza yotzilo chesronot. Somebody who has deposited pirot to a shomer. Now what we're talking about over here, as it'll turn out in the Gemara, is that this person did not put the things that were given him in a particular place where you could simply say, take back what you gave me. What he did was, is he added it to his own storage area, and then spent the year that it was by him gradually taking out food for his kitchen, and so not keeping track of what he had taken out so that we could prorate whatever the losses were. So therefore he's got a problem, because the guy says, look, you know, I gave you, let's say, 100 liter of something. I want 100 liter back. The guy says to him, well, I'm not going to give you 100 liter back because who knows what losses there were over the course of the year. So therefore the Mishnah comes now to define standard allowances for loss. And now obviously the losses are going to be primarily due to infestation of some kind. Rats will get it, mice will get it, and so on. But as we'll see in the Gemara, there's always other losses that are involved. So if somebody gives payrot, hareza yotzilo chesronot. Now when we talk about chesronot, let's give you some examples. And again, obviously this would all depend, as we'll see in the Gemara, on time, place. Obviously it depends on the extent of time. There's the question of whether we'll prorate it. Right now we're assuming it's all going to be prorated according to the amount and the time that it's there, and we're going to provide you with the actual core, which is the core. So how much is your loss per year per core? And then we'll now talk about how to prorate that. So then, lechitim la'orez, look, you're going to have to take off 9 half kabim lekor, which boils down to 1.5%, basically, because you have 180 kabim lekor. L'se'orim v'ladochan, it's a full tisha kabim lekor, so then it would be 3%. L'kusmim v'lazera pishtan. You're talking about now, and we'll see in the Gemara, that here we're talking about the seeds that are still inside of the pods. Pods have a tendency over a period of time to basically shatter, fall apart, blow away, and you're going to be left only with the seeds, so that the less refined is the grain or the seed material that you're talking about, the larger the apparent losses are going to be. And that's going to be a full shalosh sa'in lekur, 3 whole saw lekur, which is 10%, basically. Hakol lefi hamida, everything is prorated according to what you would have of a core, more or less. Ve'hakol lefi hazman, and prorated according to the time. So this is for a year. Says Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Now it's very interesting, because I suppose that the rats take a poll, and they say, well, looky, looky, here is 2 core. We should eat twice as much, you know, because, I mean, there's 2. And if there's 10, we'll eat 10 times as much. So prorating really makes a lot of sense, because the rats are going to prorate. What the heck is wrong with you? What could rats care about how many kur you've got? They are opportunistic creatures, and therefore they're going to eat the same thing. They're going to take no matter what it is that you're going to have exactly the same amount. So what we give you here is therefore the core, and that's it. It's not that the core is the core. It's that the core is what they're going to eat from. And we don't prorate it.
And there's the vice chaplain.
Now the Yerushalmi says that actually there are mice chat rooms, and these mice are real bastards. I mean, yeah, it's amazing, they say. Ma'arborim ha'rishoyim. I mean, they actually get together, they spread it out over the internet, that there's a bunch of stuff available here. They call mice from all over the country. Here is the great feast. Okay, actually, I mean, the point is that population is controlled by the food available. So if there's more food available, there will, in fact, be more mice to eat it. That's the way it is. Reproduction is based on the perception of how much is going to be available. So that, therefore, indeed, says the Yerushalmi, they're going to be balanced out, prorated, in a prorated fashion. Review down there. If it's a large amount, then you don't have to deduct anything, because the larger the amount, the more you're going to get back, which of course makes no sense at all. And the Gemara ends up explaining that what we're talking about over here is that if you're taking a commercial amount immediately after process, which is at the time of the Goren, that's when you would be buying a massive container of the stuff.
You're buying a massive container that's after it's laid out in the sun to dry, to make winnowing easy, and so on and so forth. So now it is completely desiccated. Now you're going to be taking delivery, if you're a buyer or if you're taking your picadon back, 6 months later in the middle of the winter, which has swelled tremendously. So that swelling can equal your losses, depending on what things you're talking about, obviously. But if you're talking about things that have begorin, like the chita that we were saying earlier, then you don't have to deduct anything. You don't have a right to deduct anything. You have to give him the same amount. So how do you say that Orez only misses out 1.5%? Over the course of a year, we know that's not the case. Orez tuva chaser. There's a lot of orez that disappears over the course of a year. Much bigger losses than 1.5%. We're talking about orez that's already been pearled. I don't know what they call. What do they call the orez that does not have, like what we call orez, doesn't have the. The wild rice still has the chaff on it and so on. And I forgot what they call it. Barley, when they take off the skin, they call it pearl barley. And over here, when it's kaluf, I don't know the agricultural term. Yeah, obviously the white rice and the wild rice, but there's clearly a term for that. Okay, but in any event, the losses on that are indeed minimal. Losses on wild rice, where you have now those pieces falling off or blowing away and so on, can be a lot. We'll see later on. Lukusmi, ulazera pishtan, shalosh sa'im lakur. Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Chiya, what we're talking about over here is not processed pishtan. We're talking about zera pishtan b'givolinshan. We're not talking about when you go to the store, health store, and you buy flaxseed to put into your cereal. That's not going to be missing that much. We're talking about the raw flax that still is inside of the pods. And again, the pods will crack over the course of the year and just blow away, you're going to left a tremendous amount of loss. Tanya Nami Hachi, Lekusmi Melezera Pishtan Begiv Olin. And here it adds, Ula Orez She'eno Kalof, which the Mishnah didn't discuss. It's a full 10% loss. Shlosha Sa'in Lekur.
I mean, is that food stuff that's falling off? Why is that loss in the
book? Because you're going to be returning him food stuff. I don't understand what you're asking.
Because it's the volumes off. You get back more food instead of the...
Well, I don't want to give back more food. That's costing me money. I only have to give him back what I owe him. He asked me to keep 100. I'm going to give him back 90. Otherwise, I'm going to be giving him back my own stuff. Why would I want to do that? So we need to talk about what would be lost over the course of the year. Hakol afi amida, as the Braita said, this is per kur per year. Tana kein lekol kur v'kur v'chein lekol shana v'shana. I'm Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. So what was the Chachamim's response to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri's taina that how would the Achbarim know to eat a different amount if there's more Kurim there? So they said to him, because to say that the losses are purely in terms of a particular life form is not, it's just not the fact. Harbe ovdot meyem, harbe mitpazrot meyem. There's a balance of losses for all types of things, and most of the losses are going to be prorated, and therefore we prorate it. Tana, by medvarim amurim she'ir vanim peirot tav, as I explained up front. Obviously, we're talking about over here where it was mixed together with the peirot of the nifkad. So, but obviously, if you take what you received and you say, "Here, I'm giving you this closet. Put all your stuff in this closet." When the guy comes back and he's got half of what was there, that's not your problem. That's his problem. This was the losses. I don't know anything about it. So yichid lo keren zavit omer la rishon chalafanecha. Says the Gemara, so then why, I understand. So why can't we prorate the total losses of the granary that you put it in? That's right. You're saying, okay, here's what you have a right. What do you mean what you have a right? You know what you put in there initially of your own. You know what he put in there of his. Measure it, see what's left, and then prorate his. If half it was his, so give him half, and so on. Why do we even have to measure it? So v'chirvan imperotam, my avi, l'chzili di dei kama avin, and that's all. Just give him the percentage of whatever was due him. Well, I mean, it's talking about over here. You've been using it all year. You have no idea how much is attributable to use and how much is attributable to loss. So, well, why don't you know how much is attributable to use? Understand what was I supposed to make a little note every time I come down to pick up a little bit of grain to make challah? I'm supposed to sit there and fill out a form so I can remember what I don't know what I took. So therefore, the Mishnah is giving you standard losses to know what you would be chayev as a shomer. Well, obviously, that was the understanding. Yeah. Reb Yudomer, im haita midah meruba. When we say midah meruba, what are we talking about? Omer Rabba Bar Bachanan Bar Yochanan, asara kurim. In fact, anime ochi. Kamu midah meruba, asara kurim.
And they explained it like this. Tani Tanaka Medr of Nachman. When we're talking about Midah Merubah, you know what we're talking about in Rav Yehuda. Bamedvar Numer Shemadad Lo Mitoch Gorno. Virzir Lo Mitoch Gorno. So when do we have now the dinim of returning what it is that was given to you? That's only if it's in the same time frame. So he gives you a Midah Merubah, and then you give it back to him 2 weeks later. Fine. But madadlo bitol gorno, or if it was returned at the same time a year later after drying out, also the same. Because then I just make b'medvar mumrin, the standard losses in the Mishnah. But madadlo bitol gorno v'yechzir lo bitol beito. Now, what the Tana thought, and obviously this is a misunderstanding, as Runach was going to point out to you, is that literally the correct Yersi here is giving him back from his home. And that's the difference of Midah Merubah. Midah Merubah means commercial size bushels, as opposed to, those are the imperial gallon, as opposed to giving it back from your home where you use a standard gallon. So over there, if you're going to be using your from the home, so then it's a different, you'll have to take a different amount. I'm going to... What do we think we're dealing with? Insane people? Somebody's going to give 100 imperial bushels, but oh well, it's called a bushel. I mean, so if it's 90%, it's also good. It's b'shuge. It must have been the pshat in your bright it was. Dilma b'yemota goren ka'amr. You're quoting this wrong. He's talking about the time frame, not the size of the midah. So what he was saying is in the bright but med means Biyamot hagoren, and yichzir lo biyamot hagoren. But madad lo biyamot hagoren, v'yichzir lo biyamot hageshamim. Then, that's what Rabbi Yehuda is saying, ein yotzi lo chesronot b'neshamot yirot. So over there, you're going to end up giving him, by giving him the same amount, you're actually giving him less, because you've already taken out the motirot, the losses, because it's motirot. What's the motirot? Swelling, with the moisture that now it's absorbed. I mean, if you're telling me that the swelling, and this is an awful lot of swelling. We were talking about some things were 10%. You're saying it's going to swell. If it's just swell like that, why doesn't it explode? you're saying there's so much swelling. So in Kain Liv Kakada, why don't we see the containers bursting all the time? That's exactly what happened after he said that. You should always be very careful what you say in front of this. It's like telling your refrigerator face that it's coming. I mean, that's the end. So, actually, that could happen. But Ibaidema, I mean, the truth is, I mean, why don't we find containers bursting? Because once it gets up to the level in which it would burst the container, the pressure goes up at the container. The higher the pressure, the slower the water uptake. So because of that, Mishum eats it, since it's under pressure now of the container. It's very, very difficult to find a situation where the container is weak enough not to be able to hold back the swelling, and it'll actually burst. Why would that be? And what's the relationship between the two? I don't understand why you're asking.
I'm just trying to understand. Is this totally independent?
He's just pointing out that you need to take into consideration swelling. It's not enough to take into consideration losses. That's not fair. I mean, you're going to be giving him back less than he gave you because of swelling. Yotzilo, says the Zarkar Eilek Mishnah, where's our present when you need it? Yotzilo shtut l'yayin. Going on now with the loss story. Until now, we were talking about solids. Now let's move on to liquids. So you have wine. Take off 1/6 of the wine when you return it to him. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, no, it's 1/5 of the wine. If you're talking about oil, you could take off 3 lug per me'ah. Yotilo shlosha lugin shemen le'me'ah. How does that work out? Because a lug and a half of oil that was deposited to you fresh from the processing is going to be shmarim, which is going to settle to the bottom, and obviously people want it, so that way they have the shemen. I mean, salul, you don't have to give him back shemen salul when he gave you shemen that was raw. And then there's another lugumechza bela, because there's going to be absorption. And therefore, if you give him back more than that, again, talk about a case where it's mixed with your own, you're going to be giving him your own stuff. Why should you do that? So you take off 3%. Now, if it was shemen mizukak when he got it, obviously, then it's only 1.5%, because then there's no shmarim. So then you got zero shmarim. If the containers were old containers that had already been used before, so then you don't take off bela. Rabbi Yudomer, afa bocher shemen mizukak v'chaviro ko yomot hashana. We have the same situation where sometimes a mafkid, same thing as a mafkid,
will be true of a mocher. Because if somebody, let's say, goes to a chenvani, makes a deal, he wants to buy 100 gallons of oil over the course of a year. So then he's going to be giving him that oil gradually. So the din over there is, the lokeach then is going to have to accept that his oil, because he's getting mezukak oil, and when he first bought the oil, we're going to see the Gemara is going to zero in on this precisely, that it's talking clearly about the same situation. In other words, the oil is delivered, prices are low still, you want to go ahead, lock in a price, so you buy an entire container of oil. Now, this guy in his store, I mean, he's going to sit there, store your container, he'll give you, little by little, he'll give you 10% at a time to take home in your container, your jar. So if that's the case, the oil gradually, as it's going to get settled, you're going to be getting shemen mezukak. You can't come back to him and say, hey, I bought 100 liter and you only gave me 97 liter. Because that's exactly what he's going to say. Excuse me. That's why we made the deal. I mean, you paid for shemen that was not mezukak. You're getting now shemen that is mezukak. This is how Rashi learns. The truth is the Rambam has a different approach, but we'll take this. Simple, clean. So therefore, the same exact thing would be true about a mocher. Now, the truth is that the original machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabban is not a machlokas at all. The point of the Mishnah, as a Mishnah often does when we're giving benchmarks, is to let you know variations in benchmarks. You're going to be able to take that into your own situation. Because people have a tendency to be very literal. You know, well, it says in the Mishnah, you know, 3%. So, 3%, excuse me, it's in a glass container. It says it is 3%, so obviously. You have to analyze what is the absorption rate of the particular material that you're using. Therefore, we express two things in order to tell you, markiatre. You markiatre, we're just reporting on local circumstances. In other words, biatre de marchofu bikira, velomayetztve. Look, the chachomim, they were in an area which the standard was that they would put a thin coating of wax on the inside of the storage containers to prevent a lot of absorption. So therefore they say look, it's only a shtus. Whereas in Rabbi Yehuda's container area, Beatri Demar, Chofa B'Kufra, there they would use for waterproofing, they would use resin of tar, and that is not as good a waterproofing as Shava, which ends up being thicker. And so because of that, so he said, okay, you know, it's a full fit. Well, you know what? Maybe the Mishnah is forcing you to look at the material itself, not at the coating. It may be that the differences in the consistency of the clay in the two containers, in his location, the clay was more absorptive, and therefore it's a chomish. So obviously you're going to have to analyze the facts. We can't give you a benchmark that's going to apply all over the world and for every different type of container. So it could be that there are mishum gargishta, I might tvei, I lo might tvei. I mean, there's different types of raw materials to make the barrels out of. Remember, the barrels were made out of earthenware at that time. So what was in the Ba'atra de Rav Yehuda, not to be confused with Rav Yehuda in the Tana, in the Mishnah, it's Rav Yehuda, the Amora, the standard Rav Yehuda we talk about, Rav Yehuda Bar Yecheskel. So Ramu Arba'im Vitmani Kuzi Bedana. The norm was, he had a makolet, Rav Yehuda, and the norm was that they would put in 48 kuz, which was a local measurement, in a barrel, and then the barrel would be sold for shita zuzi. Now, what Rabbi Yehuda would do as a storekeeper is he would sell it out of the barrel on tap, and he would charge on tap shita bezuza. So he would charge 6 kuzi for a zuz, which means that by the time he got to 36, he already had made his money back, and there were 48 in there, right? So he got to 38. I mean, they were selling this Dana b'shita zuzi. See, he made his shita zuzi 6 times 6, which is 36, and there were 48 actual kuzis, so he had 12 left to sell, which was all profit. So partially trace that. Now the problem is that he's not going to make profit all of that whole thing, because there was also the problem of the absorption issue and the other losses. And he's selling this over the course of a year in his store. So then, basically, t'manye, you still have to take off now the shtus, and that shtus is 8. So that's 1/6 out of the 48. So now all he was left with was 4. Why would he make such a lousy profit? He's not going to be able to. It's not as if he's selling like Walmart. You know, he's not selling an awful lot of this stuff. Didn't Shmuel say, "I'm mistaker, al yistaker yoter al shtut"? But up to a shtut, you can be mistaker. Now he's not even making 1/6. Ah, no, but he is, you see. You're not taking into consideration that he's also going to be making money on selling the shmarim for tartar processors. He's going to make money on that. And he's going to make money on the containers. There's the gulfi. I have to take into consideration. I mean, they're not free. So he's going to be making money on the gulfi, the containers, and on the shmarim. You can always sell the shmarim to the badat to make fake wine out of it. So, they were doing that for years. Oh, seriously, they were buying up all of the junk shmarim in the tanks of the Golan wines and reprocessing them with water to make wine. What? There's a lawsuit now? Okay. As long as they don't come after me and don't hear the Daf Yomi, you got to be careful. Okay, so for that he's making money. Says the Gemara, well, then he's making too much money. He's only supposed to be making a shtus. So, yachi, nafish like tvei mishtus. Yeah, but, I mean, come on, you know, you're not giving him any overhead. I mean, there's dircha, and there's demei barzanaita. You need somebody, it costs money. There's a lot of dircha involved here. You got a guy behind the counter who's going to be providing the on-tap beer. He's got, or his wine. And he's got, after all, somebody that's got to deal with making the tap in the barrel, that takes money. So in the end, the little bit extra that he's making off the goofy and the shimraya, Lamais is going to go, portion of it is going to go for overhead, and he'll be making his sixth.
Of the
spillage,
I mean, you have a lot of people
that are off. No, I was just including that. What is that supposed to mean? That you said afterwards that if it was a used barrel, so then there's no bella? Well, you have shit a little bella. I mean, I never heard of a barrel that's not bolea. Omer of Nachman, we're talking about b'mezufafim. We're talking about that if they also had been filled and then they're covered, so then they actually don't dry out again and there really is no bella. Abaya says, the truth is, afil tem shalom b'mezufafim. If you haven't literally gone to dry them out, basically, keeping the tone home. Once a container is filled with bella, it stays that way unless it just has been used for a very long time. Rabbi Yudon Mirafa Mocher Shemin Bezukak Kaveroko Yomotashana Reze Mekabla Lov Log Umech Tashmarim Lamea. You still have to take off the fact that you're getting Shemin Bezukak, and there was 1.5% that was little pieces of unusable material mixed in the oil. Omer Abaye, it seems to me that if you get to the bottom of this machloket, that it boils down to kishetimtza lomar, that according to Rabbi Yehuda, it is permissible to be ma'ariv shmarim, and according to the Chachamim, it is asur for a storekeeper to be ma'ariv shmarim. Let me explain to you why I say that. L'divrei Rabbi Yehuda, mutar la'ariv shmarim. Rabbi Yehuda holds the storekeeper who agreed to sell oil. It does not mean that the oil has to be pure oil. So that if he wanted to, he could stir the whole thing up and be left at the end when he finishes selling this barrel without shmarim, which would mean that the purchaser is paid for the shmarim because it came off the volume of the oil. So he had a right to do that. And v'hainu taima, the mekabel, the point over here is that the buyer says, that the seller says, Iboila ruvilach, if I had wanted to mix it to you, I could have, okay? I did you a favor and I gave you pure oil. Would you prefer that I mixed it? So, Iboila ruvilach, amilo arvilacha? So, okay, so pay me for the thing that I had a right to do. So, hashtanami kobil. So, why can't the buyer say, Iaraftale, have him is davenly? Why can't he say, well, look, you know, that's all very nice. If you had sold me the oil with the volume, I could have gone out and sold that oil at that volume, and I would have gotten a price for it. What am I supposed to do now? I mean, now all I have is the Shemen Mizukak, which people are going to start balking at paying this heavy-duty price like we pay when we go into the store. It's outrageous, right? Exactly. So over there, you know, I could have sold it. Now you're coming along, and I'm going to have to be charging much more. So, you know, that's not fair to make me take that loss. So, hashta my avidle lechudei. What am I going to do? Lechudei lo mizdei. You're going to give me the shmarim? I can't sell shmarim. Then I'm going to buy shmarim. Says, no, what kind of crazy time is that? We're talking about a guy in a makolet. The person who's buying from him is a housekeeper. What kind of crazy time is that? I would be able to sell it. You're not interested in selling it. You would be dealing with the supplier. Not with the, I mean, this is ridiculous. So we're talking about a balabayit. A balabayit wants pure oil. He wants to be able to use it in his house. He's not interested in selling it. The nechalei betzila. He's very happy for oil, which is salul. But why can't he say, well,
by the very words that you said, I don't owe you a penny. You told me, well, if I'd wanted to, couldn't I have mixed it? You're absolutely right. So why didn't you? Because you're a nice guy? Because you're Michael. It's part of business. You figure people will want to buy by me, and they like getting pure oil. So, you know, I'll take that loss on myself. That's what you're saying. I mean, you didn't come to discuss it with me if I want Tzolo or this. You could have just, if you didn't think it was important to give me Tzolo, you could have given me what I bought and said, well, it's not my fault. The oil, you know, this is the oil that you bought. So obviously, it's a business decision. Don't come to me to pay for your business decision. This is Mechila. Okay, that's part of the cost of advertising. You're going to charge me now for the advertisement, so therefore I don't want to pay, says the Gemara, because indeed that's the point. This is Rabbi Yehuda l'shitato. Rabbi Yehuda l'shitato does not believe that you can judge a situation and jump to a conclusion that someone intended to take a loss and was mochel. Where do we see that? That's not. Machalo etat semet. Lo machalo etat. But the guy buys, and the interesting thing, of course, it's difficult for us to conceive of this in English because we're different words. But the team is the same word that is used for the thing that holds the team together in Hebrew. So you have the tzemed bakar, but you also have the tzemed, which is the yoke that teams up the team. So now if somebody sells a team, what does that mean? That he sell the animals in the team? Or, you know, it's like when they say on the box, this does not include the figures and the, you know, it's beautiful Barbie clothes, but you'll have to pay the Barbie separately. So, I mean, that's the question. Am I paying for the bakar separately? It's included in the price. So it says in the Mishnah, machalo et tzemet, lo machalo et bakar. Machalo et bakar, lo machalo et tzemet. Rabbi Yehuda says, now, wait a minute. Let's look at the price. Adamim modi'in. You can look at the price, you can figure out what the guy was talking about. If a guy comes and says, okay, I want to buy your tzemed for 200 zuz, okay? So, adavar yadua, she'in ha-tzemed b'matayim zuz. So, it's clear that the only way he'd be paying matayim zuz is if it includes the bakar. I mean, nobody's going to just buy the tzemed. The tzemed costs you 30 zuz, not matayim zuz. So, therefore, it must be that he meant to buy the whole thing. V'chachomim omrim. Why? Because, you know, I mean, it could be, since he didn't say, he's willing to be merchum. He wants to give him a gift. Do I know? You can't bring a raya from the money. And why did I conclude this? Continues now Abaya to explain. Why did I conclude that when it comes to the divrei chachomim, it's osur la'ariv shmarim? Because the reason is that here's the argument between the buyer and seller. The reason that he's not Makabal, why did he argue with, that they argue with Rav Yehuda? The Omar lay that on the contrary. He says to them, you know, if you had wanted to remix the oil with the shmarim, I would have sued you. You have no right to do that. See, ibati la ruvi mi avi shari lecha. Since you had no right to do that, I don't intend to pay you for not doing it, obviously. Now, the first thing that strikes you right across the face, what is Abaya talking about? He just explained that there was a machlokas in terms of mechila. And the only reason he said that Aliba Rabbi Yehuda, the guy can't take it off as a business expense and claim that I don't have to be served with your business expenses, is because Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold that you have a right to jump to conclusions about mechila. But according to Chachamim, you do. So then, there you go. So what do you have to say that according to Chachamim, let me jump to a conclusion that it's also la'arif shemen. On the contrary, according to the Chachamim, we do say that he was meichel. That's all. Not because he had a right to say, I'll sue you if you would mix it. So what Abaya did is he took this from both sides. He went to the extreme of the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, then the extreme of the Shita of the Rabbanim, which was not necessary. It's very, very strange what he just did. I'm like, Papa, what are you talking about? Why did you do that? I'm like, Papa, Abaya, I mean, you know what? I could have said exactly the opposite. I would have come to the opposite conclusion. I mean, just to show you how crazy what you just did was. You want me to analyze the machlokas revealed in the Chachamim backwards? I'll do it backwards. Ipcha mistar. I would say, according to the Chachamim, actually, it's mutter to be ma'ariv shmarim. So why, when the guy says, looky, I could have been ma'ariv the shmarim and I didn't, and therefore, yeah, you really should take the loss, why can't the guy go back and say, but that's a business expense? He can, because according to that's exactly the point. You obviously meant it as a business expense, but that's the Chachamim L'shitatam. The Chachamim L'shitatam say you have a right to make those assumptions based on behavior. Did you tell me that it's going to be Tzolul? No. So you did something because you want people to come back to your store and say, wow, it's great, you can pay off at the beginning of the year, and you get really high quality. That's what you wanted. Don't come now back to me and say I should pay you and add another 1.5%. And that is the reason that Rabbi Yehuda is saying that he, the lokeach, has to be mekabel the mechta, lugu mechta, the 1.5%. It's because the omar lei, the seller, is going to say to the kohen, look, you know perfectly well that iboila ruve lo sharei lo ruve lo, that I would have had no option to give you these shmarim, so that it was not really up to me. Kabule lo mekabala, if you're going to tell me, well, it's not my problem, that's your problem. Okay, so in other words, what you are telling me is that you entered into this deal with the understanding that I am basically not supposed to be making money off of it. Is that what you're telling me? So that I'm going to be selling and I'm going to be buying at the same price. Either because, as Rashi says, his profit taking is in terms, as we saw earlier, in terms of the shmarim, or as Tosha says, that look, we're covering an area in which he perhaps wasn't able to sell at much of a profit. But the point is, you certainly understood that I was put into a corner when you bought it. So what exactly are you telling me?
I'll buy and sell for the same price, and I'll call myself a businessman. You call that a businessman. So basically, if I had a right to be ma'ar of it, and then I wasn't ma'ar of it, say whatever you want. But you knew up front I didn't have a right to be ma'ar of it. But what did you think I was giving you? A great deal out of my own pocket, because I really enjoy sitting behind the counter. Kind of a sugar net. So therefore, obviously, you have to be makabel. Zovin v'zovin tagra ikri, a guy who buys and sells at the same price, that you call a businessman. It's amazing how many people out there that do that. Amazing, they just don't know. In other words, it takes them 5 years to figure out that they've been selling at a loss, but they thought they were a big businessman the whole time. They can't figure out why they never make any money. Because you overlook this, and you overlook that, and then the shop, you know, the shoplifting you forget about, and whatever, you make all your cheshbonos, and you end up losing money, but you're a businessman. I mean, and therefore, you know perfectly well, you want to buy, you have to buy with an understanding that I have to make money too. Assuming that we're learning over here that the understanding was that he figured he's going to be getting Shemen Mizukak by paying the lower price for Shemen Lo Mizukak, then what he's saying is, look, you know that you paid me for the price of Mea Lugin, which was not Mizukak. And I'm supposed to give you a Mea Lugin that is Mizukak and still make money. It doesn't make sense if that's what you assumed. So now we've discussed the Shemarim, we've discussed the Bela. What we have not really discussed is what are known as the Fikatim. Fikatim, according to Rashi, means little broken pieces of olive pits that rise to the surface. Others learn, other Pshatim, according to the Rambam, the Fikatim refers to a sort of lower class oil, which is murky, that rises to the top of the oil, or according to others, which is found in the bottom of the barrel. But in any event, we need to address what to do, both in terms of sales and in terms of the pikadon. How much do you owe? So now, the braita doesn't explain itself very well. What it says is, echad alokech v'echad hamafkid is lefikati. Both a buyer and someone who deposits would have the same din when it comes to these fikatim. Now, what does that mean? When you say, the din of fikatim, which din? The fikatim, my lefikatim. See, lema, that you're telling me, that ki echad alokech lo mekab lefikatim. And in the same way, the buyer is not expected to get oil that's got these pieces in it, and you've got to give him clean oil. So the same thing would be true, that if a guy gives you oil to hold, he doesn't have to take back pikatim, despite the fact that he gave you the oil straight out of the pressing. So layim alayim, you can't show me, just tell him, are you nuts? Piktach, my avidlu, what am I supposed to do with your pieces of broken pits? They're yours. I have nothing to do with them. So what do you mean? I'm not allowed to give you back the oil with them. Ella, so what are you going to say? The opposite. There was Kiecha, that obviously the guy who deposited it is Mekaba Pikatim. He's got to take back his oil together with any Pikatim that there are. So then you're saying the Lokeach also has to accept Pikatim? Lokeach Nami Mekabel Pikatim, which means that a seller is allowed to mix Pikatim into oil, include them in the price? And that's impossible. Because, I mean, Mimekabel Lokeach Pikatim, whoever said such a thing? Because, after all, we have Tanya, Reb Yehuda Omer, Lo Amru Shemen Achur, Ela Lamocher Bilvad. The only time that the Chachomim said that losses from having little pieces of Pikatim in the oil need to be accepted is to the Mocher, Ela Mocher Bilvad. Because, look, the Lokeach has already accepted on himself that loss of 1.5%, but that's it. The Lugo Mechta Shmarim, that's without Pikatim.
So therefore, the Braita makes no sense at all, because the Braita says it's the same whether you're a depositor or a buyer, and that's not possible, because we've seen here that there's no way that the buyer is going to accept the katib. And says the Gemara, well, I mean, there's two different cases. Lokasha. Huh, this Braita that says that the din of lokeach, the buyer, is the same as the din of the mafki, the depositor, that's talking about that indeed he's makabo pekatim. You know when that is? That's where he goes over to a shopkeeper at a time that the market is flooded with oil right after the processing, which is in Tishrei, and he pays him in advance in Yoyev Lezuzi B'Tishrei. So now he pays up front in order to have the right. He wants to lock in the price, and he's going to be koshoko mine benisan. But he's going to be taking all year round. So he's going to come and take during Nisan, where expenses have gone up tremendously for oil. First of all, the market is not flooded, and the oil that's available is not clear and clean, and so it's now worth much more because we've taken out all of the psolet, and the size has been the volume is reduced. And he nonetheless, he's going to be taking at the prices of Tishrei during Nisan, Kibbutz the Tishrei. And that, indeed, is not quite fair now, is it? Over there, the Mekabel, the Lokeach, understands that he's got to be Mekabel on himself, the value of the Pekatim. Whereas the Braita, where Rabbi Yehuda says that a Lokeach already took into account now the 1.5%, and he's Mekabel on himself, the Shmarim, but not the Pekatim, that's talking about where he just wanted to lock in his supply, not his price. So he's the Yovelis of Benis, and he pays as he goes. Because Shokim and Benis can be to the Nisa. So over there, certainly, the expense of the Shemit, which is due to settling, is meant to include also the filtering out of the Pekatim. No, that's why you want to lock in the price. Market fluctuation is something else, but we understand that there is a yearly tide in these things, because right up front at the early season in Tishrei, so at that point the market is flooded with fresh oil, which is why you want to buy now. But what are you going to do with it? So you make a deal with the makolet holder. He'll hold the oil, and he'll sell to you. Okay, but then there's an understanding that because you're buying now, you make the deal now, so what it is that you're taking is going to have to be the same type of thing that you're taking now. Mashenken, if you took into consideration that, no, I want to buy with the understanding that's been made of the Nissan, so then that's going to be taken into consideration, the price, then you'll give him Mizukah. So it obviously depends on the normal understanding. If, besides that, there's a real market fluctuation, besides the seasonal fluctuation, which the Gemara distinguishes elsewhere between seasonal fluctuations and real market conditions, so then that was the whole point of a commodity trade. That's basically what you did. You bought an option for a commodity. So then you have a right to keep that commodity. We get into all kinds of issues later on about where you might get into rebate issues on these kind of things, but that's for later on when we talk about the real exciting stuff. Because there we have to talk about monetary systems, what is currency, what is the commodities, and so on. So this is, you know, we start gentle in building.
המפקיד פירות אצל חברו הרי זה יוציא לו חסרונות וחיתים על האורס תשע חצוי כבין לקור לסון לדוח תשע קבין לקור לקוס מלזר הפשטן 18 קבין לקור which is 3 סויין הכל לפי המידה והכל לפי הזמן עומר רבי יוחנן בן נורי וכי מה אכפת לנו לעכברים על האוכלות בין מהרבה בין מכימה אלא אינו יוציא לו חסרונות except for the first קור רבי יהודה אומר אם הייתה מידה מרובה אינו מוציא לו חסרונות בבי שמותירו Ores loses a heck of a lot more than 1.5%. Omer Rabbi Barachon and Riocha would talk about Ores Kaluf. Kusvim, Zera Pishtan, Shlosh, Esoyim, Lekor, 10%. Omer Rabbi Yochanan Repetia, Zera Pishtan, Begivolin, Shanu. Tanya Nam Yochanan, Lekusvim, Zera Pishtan, Begivolin. Or, for that matter, Ores Sheno Kaluf, which takes into consideration the previous question, Shlosh, Esoyim, Lekor. Hakol, Lefi Amida, Tanakein, Lekol, Kor, Vekor, Vechein, Lekol, Shana, Vishnu. Om Rav Yochanan ben Nuri, Tanya, Om Rulu Rav Yochanan, what's your problem? Arbe Ovdot Meyam, Arbe Bit Pazrot Meyam, the more you got, the bigger your losses are. Tana Bamed, Varam Omrim Shirvam Imperotam, Ava Yechevo Keren Zavit, Omer La Resha Chalavanecha, Bechi Irvan Imperotav Mayavi, why don't we simply prorate it? Lechse Lididei Kamahavi, what's talking about Mistapek Meyam? So then, fine, just deduct kamistapek. Adoloyone kamistapek. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, אם הייתה מידה מרובה, כמה מידה מרובה? אומר רבא בר בכון, רבי יוחנן, 10 קורין. תני נמי יוחי, כמה מידה מרובה? 10 קורין. תני תני גם אדורם נחמה, בדברים אומרים שמדד לא מתוך גרונו והחזיר לא מתוך גרונו, אבל מדד לא מתוך גרונו והחזיר לא מתוך ביתו, אינו יוציא לו חסרונות מפני שמותירות. אומר לי, are you crazy? בשופטני עסקינו? That they're going to accept a smaller size because you give it the name I hear by W. Bushel? The Kaila Bemida, the Yavi Bekaila Rabba, Veshakla Bekaila Zuta? It must be what you were Makabo was. Be a mota goren. In other words, Bamed Varmamurim, Shemadadlo be a mota goren, Virzelo be a mota goren. Aval Madadlo be a mota goren, Virzelo be a mota geshamim, where it swells. Ena yotzilo chisaron yvne shemotirot. I'm a little popular by a in Cain. So, live kakada. Have you to do kakada? Iboy deima, actually, mishum itzitza, it's not poka. But if you're not holding it inside a container under pressure, it swells. Yotzilo shtut liyai, Rebido Merchomesh. Yotzilo shloshalugin shemen lamea lug, which is the lug of mechza, shumarim lug of mechza bela. Ima haya shemen mezukak, so then fine, no shemarim. If it was kankanim nishanim, no bela. Rebbe Yehuda Eimer, afa bocher shemen mezukak v'chaviro kol yibot hashana, it's the same deal. Arizi mekabel alav luvug mechza shemarim lemea. V'lo pligi, marki atre, be'atre demar, chofu bekira, and therefore the barrels are not mayitz tvei. Be'atre demar, chofu bekufra, and therefore they are ma'itz tvei. Or ibay dema mishum gargishta. There may be types of clay which are ma'itz tvei, v'aylo ma'itz tvei. Now, ba'atir Rav Yehuda, ramo arboim utmani kuzi bedana, and then the dana was sold for shita zuzi. Rav Yehuda went and sold it on tap for shita bezuzi, which now leaves him dal klati v'shita b'shita. If you get your money back, you get it back at the first 36, leaving you now 12 to get to 48. Poshalei treisal. Now there's the losses of the absorption. So you got to take off dal tmani, which is shtuti. And he's left with 4 for his profit. Omar Shmuel, mistaker, mistaker yoder al shtut, but certainly shtuti could be mistaker. Well, he was mistaker also with the gulfi and the shemraya. So he's making too much money now. Yochanan v'shalei yod tvei b'shtut. Ika tircha and demei barzinaita. Ima yashem mezukak eino yotzilo shemari. Vayevshado bala omrav nachman means b'mezufafim. Abaye says afil te b'shol b'mezufafim. Kivan de taun taun. Rabbi Yehuda omer afa mocher shem mezukak l'chavero koyimot hashana. Reizi mekabel av lugu mechtz shemarim l'meya. And the chachamim obviously disagree. Omrav abaye kishetim tzalo marla divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Mutter la rev shmarim, the divrei chachamim asur la rev shmarim. So divrei Rav Yehuda mutter la rev shmarim. So why then does he have to be mekabel the 1.5% laws? Because the seller tells him, look, iboy la ruvei lecha, mi lo arvei lecha. So it's so now I did you a favor, so karbil. V'lei malei, on the contrary, I mean, hereafter li avi mizdavenli, but ashta, what am I supposed to do with it? L'chudei lo mizdavenli. We're talking about a balabayit. A balabayit is nechalei betzili. He's not interested in doing business with shmarim. So v'leimalei midaloa raftili, you obviously were meichalit as a business expense. It's Rabbi Yehuda l'taimei. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold a mechila. Detzan machalo et atzemet, lo machalo et abakar. Machalo et abakar, lo machalo et atzemet. Rabbi Yehuda says, you can always look at the value. Hadamim modi'in. Ketzat. Amalo mechor li tzemdecha mematayim zuz. Everybody knows that einat tzemet b'matayim zuz without the bakar. V'chachomim omrim ein adamim raya. The divrei chachomim continues Abaya. Asur la'arev shmarim. V'ayinu tamid lo mekabel. The omalei, look, there's nothing you could have done about it anyway, Mr. Storekeeper. Because he ba'it la'aruvei mi avishari l'cha. Hashtanami lo mekabelil na, so why should I pay for it? Omalei v'papa la'abaya. That's the weirdest pshat ever. How did Rabbi Yehuda establish? You could say the divrei chachamim mutter la rev shmarim. So heine time the lo mekabel is because he says to him, well, since the law raftali, obviously you were meichel.
L'divrei Rabbi Yehuda, I would say the opposite. You could say Osir la Reb Shmonim. So then why does he have to be mekabel on himself? Because he says to them, look, I had no choice, as you well know. And he boi la ruve lo shari la ruve lecha. So therefore, what are you going to do? Kibbutz lo mekabalah? You're going to say, well, that's not my problem, that's your problem. So in other words, you intended to buy from a guy who loves standing behind the counter. So he's a zovon and a zovin. That's called a businessman in your word. So obviously you meant to be mekabel on yourself. Tana echad alokeach, ve'echad hamafkid. When it comes to fikatim, what? When it comes to fikatim, ilan echad alokeach lo mekabel fikatim. The mafkid also doesn't have to be mekabel fikatim. I mean, the shomer system. What are you nuts? You give me things full of fikatim, and I should give you back pure oil on my cheshbon. Obviously not. Lemeli fikatecha my avidu. Elaki hecha the mafkid mekabel fikatim. Lokeach nami mekabel fikatim. Is that what you're saying? Is that true? Umi mekabel lokeach fikatim. V'tani Rabbi Yehuda Amar lo amru shem anachur ela lamochir bevad. Sharei lokeach mekabel lav lugamech tishmoni belo fikatim. Lokasha. Obviously it depends on the arrangement. How the oivle is usi betishrei. V'kashokim inei benisim kimida de tishrei. V'hodi oivle is usi benisim. V'kashokim inei benisim kimida de nisim.